and gentlemen, boys and girls, I'm the Gnarly Gnome. This is called The Weekly Pint. It is not a show. No, no, it's a happy hour. It is an excuse for me and you to hang out, to drink together, to talk about whatever we want to talk about. We might talk about drinking. We might just drink. We might do some kind of combination of all kinds of fun things. We might just sit here and complain about my youngest child just running back and forth right over my head right now after I just told him not to, and I asked him very nicely to cut it out, and he still is doing it. The dog will probably start barking in a minute. It's going to be one of those shows. My oldest has decided she now needs more dinner, even though it is, what, 10 till 10? Is it really? Am I really that late? It is. It's 10 till 10. I'm that late because of all of this chaos that erupts right at showtime. Tons of fun. It is just tons of fun. All right. Because it's a happy hour, part of the point of this is for you to tell me what it is you're drinking. So as you do jump on the live stream, please tell me what it is that is in your glass tonight. Let's see. Chris is opening up his last barrel-aged Christmas ale. That sounds delicious. Marco's having a truth. Chris is also having a pizza for Pie Day. I'll do St. Patty's at Easter, I guess. Yeah, it's fine. Look, the pizza for Pie Day, it's always pizza day, always. It's fine. It's completely appropriate. Let's see. Ryan is having a Curio from Allagash. That sounds good. Alex having some Gill. Jeremy is having Gilligan Stout. Now we're talking. Now we're getting seasonal. I guess Gill would be too, but Foggy Valley New England IPA from Beer Tree Brew from New York. Okay. I have never heard of that brewery, nor have I heard of that beer. Eric just finished Polliner Salivator. Salvatore, not Salivator, and got knocked over by a real goat this morning. I feel that. Let's see. Josh is having Space IPA from Half Acre. Okay. I'm having nothing. I have nothing in front of me. I will. I need something in front of me. We're going to have a decision to make. We're going to have several decisions to make. I restocked all kinds of things, so I've got just weird stuff all over down here in the studio. So you guys are going to have to help me choose. It's going to be a choose my own adventure night. But before we get there, we do have some schnapps to drink. If you are new to the schnappening, if you're new to the show, we kick it off with a thing called the schnappening, which is where you guys watch me drink schnapps. And lately, I have just been on this Becherovka kick. I'm determined just to keep drinking it until it's gone. I think that's what we're going to do because it's that good. I love it. I did make an improvement here. I've been struggling with the drink cam the last couple weeks with it not getting the bottle in there appropriately. And I think we fixed that. So now the bottle is at least in the shot. Better for a beer, but the bottle does. And I've been really disappointed with the lighting on some of the bottles. This one's pretty fine, but some of the bottles are just a little too dark. So we introduce tonight the Drink Cam Spotlight. If it's too dark, you kick on the spotlight and you can see all of the beautiful details of whatever it is you're drinking. And then we can go back to normal. I am so proud of that. These are the things that I spend my time on instead of writing blog posts, recording podcasts. I create spotlights for drinks. Whatever. Judge me. I dare you. All right. Let's get a little bit of this into my glass here. The light that I'm using for the spotlight is just a regular, it goes from daylight balanced to tungsten balanced, but I could swap it out for a full color light, and then we could have different color spotlights. That might be kind of cool. I at some point I keep telling myself I'm going to redo this desk. I'm going to actually finish the desk or build the desk properly. And I keep putting that off, which is what keeps stopping me from actually like getting this set up the way it's supposed to be set up. I have like just cables strung all over the place, held up by zip ties, and yeah, you know, it's a mess. It's an absolute mess. All right. Mmm. Ooh. Oh, it smells so good. You guys want to see it? Want to see the drink? Oh, is it too dark? You can't see it? I'm sorry. Oh. Mmm. Mmm. Oh man, it is so freaking delicious. Very like outdoorsy. It's just like woodsy. I don't know if it's because like the weather sucks so bad today, but I'm just so desperate to just be outside right now and like in the sunshine or sitting around a campfire or something like that. And I think that this right now for me is tasting like a good campfire schnapps, like a warm night campfire. I might have to try that this summer. I wonder what, like, I've only drank it just by itself. I wonder what it tastes like over ice, or is there a cocktail or something? Oh yeah, they tell me some things. They say it's traditionally consumed neat, cooled to below 6 degrees Celsius for refreshment. Bekarovka is excellent, mixed with tonic or with other soft drinks. Okay, we're going to have to do some experimentation, figure out what soft drinks they mean, because, look, I got Jungle Gyms down the street for me. Soft drinks is something that we have no shortage of. In fact, I have probably 7 or 8 different like random like sodas and soft drinks in there that I don't know, I'm going to drink at some point. Chris says Fresca. That might actually be great. Yeah, that might work. I wonder. See, I wonder almost like something like even like cola, like that might be really good with it, like that herbal kind of thing. I don't know. Okay. Bekarovka now with more grandpas. Oh man, it's amazing how like if I drink this in the middle of winter, like around Christmas, it's a very Christmassy drink to me. But then like right now, it's definitely tasting like summer nights. And I don't know how one happy little schnapp can be so broad. Okay, let's down this and then we'll get into it. That's good. Okay. Before we dive into the first topic of the evening, I need you guys to help direct me where I'm going here. So I have beer. I have a couple different beers I could drink. I do have a canned cocktail. I think I have one canned cocktail in there I could drink. I have sodas, as I mentioned. We could just go crazy and crack into a soda. Or I did restock the bucket of misery. I'll let you guys just choose based on those. Beer, canned cocktail, soda, or bucket of misery. And some of those, if you pick them, we're probably going to drink more than one because, I've prepared for lots of different options here. Ryan says beer. I need another vote. I mean, I'm tempted to just take one vote and go beer. Because it's sitting right here and I do want to get into it. Marco says bucket. All right, we'll go beer and then bucket. Ryan, okay. Oh, that is like a, that's a whole paragraph, Julia. Alex says bucket too. All right, we'll start with the bucket before we get into the beer.
Okay.
Because the bucket's always tiny little guys.
Okay. All right.
Eric says start with a beer. No, we're starting with the bucket. Okay, this is the bucket of misery. If you're new to this thing, it's supposed to be the bucket of mystery. You never know what's going to be inside of it. It's usually not great, though. But my daughter wrote it and turned it into something very beautiful. There are currently 5 things in here. I don't know if any of these should be shook up. There's some of them that I don't know what the shelf life is. There's a couple that have been in here for a very long time. Okay, Julia's cocktail says it's called a Checkmate. 1.5 ounce of Ketel One vodka. 3/4 lemon juice. Is that 1/2 ounce of Becherovka? Sugar syrup. And then Pilsner. Yeah, I could get behind that. I think I could get behind that for sure. All right, I'm trying to be random with this. I'm trying to really mix them up. I know that this is one of the new ones because the bottles are shaped differently. I just don't know which one. Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. This is for when you are getting ready for something very exciting. You need a pregame. You need 4 Loko pregame. That's right. Get some light on that thing. 4 Loko pregame. This is lemonade 4 Loko in a little plastic bottle, just in case you need to sneak it through security. Not that anybody would ever do that. Oh, man. Okay, this is 13.9% ABV. 4 Loko shot. It is 6.8 ounces. That is not a shot, for the record. Malt beverage with natural and artificial flavors. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Got a fancy little rocks glass with some ice in it. Because I feel like if you're going to drink a 4 Loko, got to pour it over ice, right? This needs shook up. No, it looks all right to me. What are the odds this tastes anything but terrible? That's a big bottle. Like, that filled up that entire glass. Oh, man. Why? Okay. I can tell you the odds of it tasting good just went down by the smell of it. It smells kind of like, again, all right, so in the summertime, you know when you go to, like, the zoo or King's Island or something, and there's that smell, that sickly kind of mix of vomit and lemonade at the end of a roller coaster, you know, that's kind of what it smells like. Julia says you need to add some caffeine to that. I don't know what you need to add to this. All right, let me get my nose in here. Smells like sadness and regrets and everything that everybody says is wrong about the alcohol industry right now. Yeah. Chris says, like an Applebee's. Kind of like an Applebee's. Okay, I'm just going to dive into this. It can't be that bad, right? No, it can't be that bad. Oh, it is that. Oh, it is that bad. Oh, God, what is that? Oh, man. It was a little more tart than I was expecting. Nothing about that tastes like lemonade. Oh, why? Why does that exist? Oh, God. Oh, that is horrible. That's horrible. Oh, man. Ugh. I don't even understand. I don't understand. I don't get it. Oh. Oh God. Oh man. Like there there is nobody on the planet that is purchasing that drink because they enjoy it. And I just, that doesn't make any sense to me. It just doesn't compute. Like there, somewhere along the way, somebody like created this formula, created this recipe and put it in front of other people. Like, ma'am, here it is. Here's the, what is it called? Pre-game lemonade. Pre-game lemonade. You know, people are getting ready to party. Before they party, they need some nice tasty lemonade. And this is it. This is that lemonade they're gonna crush. Oh, headed to the big game? Sneak some of these in your coat pocket. They won't set the metal detectors off. And they'll make you cry even if your team's winning. Oh God. That's like some of like the little like buzz balls and stuff, some of them are actually like tolerable enough. That's neither tolerable nor tasty or even like humane. That is one of the worst things I think I've ever tried on a show. I don't know if I'm gonna finish that, guys. That's horrible. Oh, what's so weird is the very beginning isn't that bad, but then God, yeah, oh, it just gets real terrible. God, oh man. No wonder they banned Four Loko. No wonder the company is for sale. What are you going to, like, how is this, like, this, I had Four Loko and Four Loko was Four Loko. And that, it wasn't good, but it wasn't this. Like, this just tastes terrible. At least that stuff tasted like candy. This, oh. Are there like people that stand around at a bar like sipping on this like they're drinking some kind of like strong cocktail or something, like they're, you know, listen to music or watch people play pool or whatever, you know, people do at bars. And they take a big sip, you know. God, I can't. If you ever walk into a bar and from the corner you just hear people like periodically going, oh, oh, you know it's because they're drinking Four Loko. Do people drink it in bars? Where do you drink this? Do you just drink it like in line for a concert or like while you're tailgating or on very bad podcasts? Is that the only place people are drinking these? Because I don't get it. Oh God. Could you turn this into something? Like, could you, it's already what, 14%. So it probably doesn't need anything added to it, but could you turn it into something like palatable? Like, could you add some actual lemonade to it? Maybe. Wow. Wow. Okay. Ryan wants to know if four was too many locos or not enough. Yeah, well, it's got to go one way or the other. You got to either go way less loco or you got to commit to this and go loco. Like, this is not loco. This is just nasty. This is like four nasties, not locos. Oh, I don't even know. Chris says behind the 7-Eleven. Yeah, no, they're not even drinking this behind the 7-Eleven. Oh, God. They're using this in the 7-Eleven to clean the urine off the walls. But that's insane. Julia says, or it's their first term, first time having an Underberg or a Malort. No. I think this is even worse than that. Eric says, behind the high school dumpster. That might be it. This might be like what underage kids are drinking because they think that this is what alcohol is supposed to taste like. Like, man, that's disgusting. No wonder they didn't want us to drink this for so long. It's so gross. Maybe that's it. Oh. I'm like halfway there. Why? We could jump in and talk about Patty's Day while I try to kill this thing. Because this is not good, but I feel obligated to finish it since I paid like $1.99 for it. Big week for big drinkers. Listen, I didn't go out for Patty's Day last year, and I don't know that I'm going out for Patty's Day this year. Well, that's not probably not entirely accurate, but that's kind of a long description to just to explain that, like, St. Patrick's Day, like it's a fun time to go out, and I didn't even go out this weekend. I did a little bit, but not really. But I think that, like, the joy of going out and celebrating for St. Patrick's Day is a very genuine joy, and I appreciate any kind of holiday that inspires people to go out drinking. The problem is that on holidays like Paddy's Day or New Year's Eve or Cinco de Mayo is not usually that bad, but it just brings out lots of people that don't typically go out and drink heavy, and they decide they're going to on these special holidays. I respect it. I think it's a... it's a noble effort, and everybody probably should. Not everybody, but you should. It's great. We love drinking. All it does is create a lot of atmospheres with a lot of people that are maybe past their, what I'm going to call, their tolerable stage. You get a lot of people not on their best behavior, a lot of people who... maybe can't handle their alcohol as much. Eric calls them the amateurs. I was trying to be nice about it. It becomes a shit show. It's like SantaCon. We talked about that a couple months ago. And you go out and there's just drunk Santas everywhere. And it's funny to some degree. I love people watching. That's one of my favorite parts about going to bars, is that you get to watch people that sometimes overindulge. And that's funny to watch. But when it becomes so many people and you're waiting in line for drinks and your bartenders are so stressed that they're struggling just to keep up with things, and like it's not as fun of a drinking experience. That's my biggest problem with Paddy's Day, is that if you go out on Paddy's Day, depending on where you go, sometimes the experience just isn't great. And it's like if we're creating a drinking holiday, and we're creating a holiday that creates a drinking experience that just isn't that great, is it still a great drinking holiday? And I don't know that it is. I think about, like, Oktoberfest. If you go to an Oktoberfest, it's busy, and everybody's drinking. And yes, you get some people that overindulge a little bit, but everybody's kind of prepared for it. It's a high-volume situation, and the atmosphere stays very... jovial because of that. I don't know why Paddy's Day can't be like that. And some places it is. Some places they're definitely ready for it, and they manage very well. Shout outs to some of the places around town that have great Paddy's Day celebrations. Feel free to shout out your favorites, because I'm not going to mention them all. Ryan says, I went to Grainworks on Saturday, instantly regretted my decision. I had one beer and bounced. Grainworks gets nuts. Molly Malone's, obviously, down in Covington. They have a massive celebration on Paddy's Day, huge full-day celebration, big tents outside and stages and all kinds of stuff, and it's great. They usually do a great job of keeping things, again, jovial and happy. Red Leprechaun at the Banks seems to be doing a very good job. They're still new, so I can't give them a full grade yet, but they seem like they are doing a great job. Again, big tent right out front on the street, and just kind of cranking all day. Dingle House up in Westchester, up kind of more my neck of the woods. If you want to be in a big kind of Paddy's Day celebration, but you don't want to go downtown, they do an amazing job and go through so much Guinness. So much. They do a great job, though. Let's see. Steve says, expectations for having an amazing time are way too high for those drinking holidays. Seems forced a lot of times. Expectations for having an amazing time are way too high. Maybe. But I also think that, like, when we go out drinking and we go to places, we should always expect to have a great time. And even if it's a crazy drinking holiday or it's just a regular Tuesday night, you should always expect to have a great time. I feel like the times that I'm having a great time on kind of those busy situations are fewer and further in between. I feel, and maybe that's just me getting older or something else, but I don't know. Chris says, I remember Kegs and Eggs before a Micro Center shift at Brazenhead. Brazenhead was great. Yes. there's been a lot of places over the years that have done really, really great Paddy's Day celebrations. Ryan says, I bought some Iris from Esoteric and will be staying home to celebrate. That's probably the more fun way to do it. I mean, it does kind of put a wrench in things. Unless you are super into it and you took the day off, it's still a weekday. Like, I get it. My kids got to go to school. I got to go to work. So I'm not waking up and doing Kegs and Eggs, but I'll probably imbibe in something in the evening. And so, like, I don't know. Like, I feel like we should embrace these holidays more. But I feel like as people get more apathetic towards drinking and drinking culture, the enjoyment of those holidays becomes less, if that makes sense. Oh, God, it's so gross. I don't even know what that is. You know what it tastes like? It tastes like a mix that is supposed to go with something else, and they just forgot something else. Maybe it needs some sugar. I'm assuming there's a lot of sugar. I can't even get to the bottle. I'm assuming there's a lot of sugar in there, but it just doesn't taste like it. Maybe I'm tasting all the Locos. Maybe that is the four Locos that I'm tasting. I don't know. God, it's so bad. Julia says, add some Becherovka to it. See if that makes it any better. That might help. Good call. When in doubt, science. Okay. How much Becherovka do you put before Loco? Oh. Probably that much. Now it just looks like somebody peed in my Four Loco, which has probably happened before. I do have some Fireball we could add if it needs Fireball. Or I have, obviously, the Malort sitting here. That is all that is within arm's reach. Okay. This is either going to be disgusting or solve my problems. It smells better. Actually, smells a lot better. Okay. All right. Here we go. Cheers. Sláinte. In honor of Paddy's Day. Four Loko with Bekarovka. Yeah. That's better. That is definitely better. That's workable. Yeah, we could do something here. If it just like another like a splash of actual lemonade or even like orange juice or something, and this would be a drink. But oh god. Grandpa Locos. I don't know why that works as good as it does, but still not great. But I'll take better. It is better. Like, yeah, it's not great. I'm not ever ordering that. In fact, I will never again put Four Loko in my body unless it comes out of the bucket of misery. That was terrible. Yuck. Yuck. So wrapping up Paddy's Day before I open up a proper beer. Does anybody have any like things that they have to do for Paddy's Day? Any celebrations that they make sure they celebrate? Any traditions that they adhere to? Ours have kind of shifted over the years. I used to always go out for Paddy's Day, even if it was just like one place for a couple drinks. Three drinks was my general rule. I always had to have a pint of Guinness. I have like rules that I live my life by. Had to have a pint of Guinness every Paddy's Day. And then I had to have something green. I had to drink green beer, and that shifted over the years as a couple places, specifically 50 West, I think, does it better than anybody else. They make a green sparkly beer, and that became a tradition for me that I had to drink one of those. And then something local, which that kind of satisfies both of those, but some kind of local Irish style, we'll say. And like, I had to have all three. And that was how I celebrated Paddy's Day. No kegs and eggs, none of that stuff. But Chris has him off and working, so nope. Well, yeah, you can still do something. You can dye your scrambled eggs green in the morning before work. That's acceptable. My kids and I, my whole family, my wife does it too. She participates. I participate. We don't really do it. But we make leprechaun traps, thanks to a preschool that started that tradition for us. Evidently, you're supposed to try to catch the little boogers when they come into your house, because they do that and they create mischief. Eric says, is that Sam Adams Shamrock out yet, or does it drop tomorrow? Actually, it's gone. They sold all of it. They released it a little bit early and then had a big party to release it this weekend. And on Saturday, they sold through every can that they had canned. I believe it's still on draft. My last time I talked to him, it was still on draft. And you could pick some up or get crawlers of it. But the cans are all gone. They burn through it fast. And we will. That is definitely one of my top. That's my next topic that I want to talk. Well, yeah, that's my next topic I want to talk about, but we'll get there. It's a cage match with the elf on the shelf. I think that the elf on the shelf, the elves that come to my house every Christmas would beat the crap out of the leprechauns that come to my house. The leprechauns just come in and like knock things over, and then they usually take a leak in the toilet, and I guess they pee green. I don't really understand that, and I don't know that's healthy, but that's what they do. Every year, they knock shit over. Sometimes they leave little footprints in things, like in sparkles and crap, and then they take a leak, and then they leave. We never catch them. The traps are always a failure. I could come up with some better trap ideas, but my kids don't want to listen to my trap ideas, but that's neither here or there. But yeah, they just come in, knock shit over, take a leak, and leave. The elves, man, the elves are like, just, they're brazen. Like they will like destroy your house and then they'll sit right in the middle of it. Their arms, little arms crossed. And they'll just stare at you. I did that. What are you going to do about it? They don't even care. And then they come back again the next year knowing, yeah, we're going to mess with you this year. They don't care. They just don't care. Eric says to hang out down in the area on Saturday afternoon, stopped at Northern Row instead. Yeah, I mean, I don't know how much of it they canned. I think they probably should have canned more, however much it was. or they shouldn't have, they should have waited and like released it all on Saturday. I get that you're trying to sell through it. It's a St. Patrick's Day beer, very, very clearly a St. Patrick's Day beer. So you got to get through it when you can get through it, but whatever. Here we go. let's get through this.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Still not good. Empty glass. All right. If you have been paying attention, I was in Richmond recently. And I do have some content that hopefully I will get to edit and get some videos and stuff out there about all of that. Blog post. All of that's coming about the places that I was. But as I mentioned last week and probably a couple weeks ago, one of the places that I went was Stone. Stone in Richmond, their East Coast production facility. One thing that I think a lot of people don't know about Stone, hopefully you do if you listen to this show, they are owned by a massive multinational corporate brewing apparatus at this point called Sapporo. Sapporo, actually an okay brewery. They make good beer, or they always have made good beer. One of the things that they were wanting out of this acquisition of Stone is a North American brewing operations, and they also purchased Anchor and tried to do it there, and that did not work out well. But then when they acquired Stone, very quickly they found out that that equipment could make Sapporo very well, and now it does. So when you go to Stone in Richmond, and I'm assuming probably San Diego too, when you go there and you walk over to the cooler or on tap, it's a bunch of Stone beer, and then there is Sapporo on tap, and there is Sapporo in cans, and that is very, like, very strange to see, and very, it takes you a minute to adjust to it and kind of feel okay about it. Once you do, it just all of a sudden makes a lot of sense, and I'll be damned if Sapporo isn't a good beer. I stumbled across this one, something that I've never had before, but I've been wanting to try. This is Sapporo Black. Oh, it's probably pretty hard to see because this is a dark can. Dark can on a dark background. In those situations, I like to use the drink light. Sapporo Black. This is a Schwarzbier. Sapporo Schwarzbier. I also really freaking love their beer cans. I'm gonna be straight up with you. The whatever they do with like this like faceted thing on the cans, it feels like it's machined out of a solid block of steel, and I love that. I love it so much. This is not fresh by any stretch. I did not pick this up at the brewery in Richmond. I picked this up at Jungle Jim's. This was packaged on 5/8/25, so whatever. But it is a lager, so it should age okay. It is 5% ABV, and it says nothing about the beer, other than it is brewed and canned by Sapporo Brewing Company, in two locations, Escondido, California. I think that's San Diego, I think. And Richmond, Virginia. I'm assuming that this can came from Richmond, since that's closer to us. That doesn't actually mean it did, but it would make sense. And then even like the top of the can, like it's like just fun. Like it's just different. And I like that. I like different. Let's pop it open and see if it still tastes good. Oh yeah. Just feels like a real hearty can. I love a good Schwarz beer. You know that about me. Big, dark German lager. You might not know, or you might. Sapporo was started, I don't even know when. Maybe it's on here. Very long. Oh, yeah. Somewhere around 1876 was when the brewery started. The guy that's the first brewmaster of Sapporo, I don't remember what his name is. It was something very Japanese. He left Japan when he was like 17 years old. And this was at a time when Japan was run in a way that wasn't really friendly to things like that. He could have been like killed for leaving the country. But he left and wanted to go study and went to Germany because he wanted to study beer making. And he did, and he spent a big chunk of his life there. And then finally, when he could return home to Japan, he became the first brewmaster of this brewery. And that's why all of the beers are very German. They're German beers. This head is going to take forever to die down. It's a dark beer, but it's not black. Like it's kind of. I mean, it's dark mahogany. When I hold it up to like the studio light, I can see that there's some reddish tinge to it. Big foamy frothy khaki colored head on there. It's like. Like you can again eat it with a spoon. It's a sign of a good beer. Chocolate. I get like straight up just like baker's chocolate. Yeah, it doesn't smell old at all, which is a good sign. Maybe some coffee, a little bit, but yeah, just mostly chocolate. Okay. Oh, that's great. Oh, that's a good beer. I do get more coffee when I drink it. It's, got some kind of definitely roasty malt. And then like there is a little touch of like a bitter kind of coffee thing. And then that chocolate, just super chocolatey and smooth. I know it's a terrible descriptor for a beer, but oh, that's great. I mean, it shouldn't be shocking that it's a great beer. Sapporo is a brewery that's been around for however many, 200 years? not quite 200 years. Almost. 150 years. They've been around for a very long time. And in that time, they've really, as far as I know, only made a few beers. I think they, as of today, I think they only have like four or five beers, maybe. They have the regular, a light, a reserve, non-alcoholic. This one, that might be it. So if you're only making a few beers, you should be able to perfect what those beers are. Maybe that logic is flawed. I don't know. Maybe that logic's flawed. I'm thinking of places that have not perfected those couple beers that they make. But this is good. This is way better than Four Loko. It's also very strange to me for somebody that like. So I pride myself so much on drinking local. And in my head, the way I justify this is, look, I was in Richmond. This is a Richmond beer. I'm kind of drinking local. But at the same time, this is a company that is massive and owned by the Japanese and definitely not local at all. Where does that kind of fit in to our, like, or my kind of drinking experience? Like, there's definitely some kind of place for it and some kind of, there's some kind of importance to drinking things that aren't from here to give you kind of a perspective on the things that are from here. I just can't always understand where that line starts and where that line ends for me. Like, I like drinking imported beer. I like trying styles that, you know, where they came from. I like trying the origin of those styles. And I like digging into some of what they're quote-unquote supposed to taste like. Are we doing it better than that? Is that possible? Can you do better than the original version of something? These are questions that I sit there and beat myself over the head with when I'm sitting at the bar drinking by myself. And I don't know the answer. I also don't know how Sapporo fits into that because it's you know, other than it's got great cans. Chris points out that Miller Lite is made in Trenton. Yeah, there's a bunch of stuff made up in Trenton there. Definitely local. But again, if the company isn't owned locally, where do they sit on that scale in the hierarchy of localness or desire to support? And there is some kind of scale to that. There is some kind of hierarchy, some kind of level to that. I just don't really understand it completely. Okay, let's move on to influencer beers. Eric says, checking in with a reference sample is always good science. Yeah, science. That's why I do this, is for science. They support a lot of local events here in Hamilton. Yeah, I don't have any ill will towards Miller Coors or Molson Coors or whatever they're called these days. I have no ill will other than the fact that they are big beer. And I think that sometimes there's some bad that comes along with that. But no ill will beyond that. Some great people that work there. Doom Scroll from the beer aisle. Okay. Look, I've been involved with several different what I'm calling influencer beers over the years. I recognize that there are some times where there will be a beer that might have my name on it or an event that has my name on it that has done so completely because of some kind of influence that might have behind it. I get that. And so there is some level of hypocrisy to all of this because I do this. And I have done it, and I will do it, and with all of that understood. And this also is not a dig at every influencer that has ever released a beer. Certainly not a dig at Hey Michelle, who just released one and did great with it. Great beer. And I know that it came from a genuine place from her, from a holiday that she loves, and with a brewery that she supports. Definitely not a dig at her. What I will say is that over the last, we'll say 5 years or so, I've seen other collaborations come and go. I've seen breweries work with different influencers on different levels for different things. Or we'll say businesses even. Even not specifically pointing out breweries. Businesses working with influencers for different reasons. And I think sometimes it works great, and when it does, I'm all about it. There are times where I feel like it doesn't work great, and a lot of people get confused at why. And I think it's a very interesting time right now for influencer culture or online content creator culture, whatever you want to call this thing that's going on, because there are lots of people that are building some really great businesses around their ability to create content in the world around them. And that's awesome. I love it. That's a big part of the world that I live in, and that's fine. There are also a lot of people that abuse that whole world. And I think that there are a lot of small businesses that don't understand that and get caught up in collaborations or arrangements that they think are going to look one way that don't. And they can't always figure out why they don't. I don't mean to shock anybody by this, but just because you look and see that this influencer that is reaching out to you to collaborate on something has X amount of followers does not mean that that is equal to any kind of result that you will see from that partnership. What I've learned over the limited time that I've spent in the social media world is that you can have more of an effect with a smaller, more engaged audience than you can sometimes with a larger, more apathetic audience. And it's disheartening sometimes to see other places get burned by that. It's sad when you see places teaming up with creators that obviously have purchased followers or played this other side of the game where you have there are some creators that have accounts that are existing almost solely because it's just other creators following each other. that's a big thing right now. And none of that translates into actual money spent when a company works with those people. And we're entering a world where there's lots of people looking for a way to work with creators, and then they end up getting burned and really turned off to the whole thing, which is sad. And I think that that's the danger of some of these influencer beers, is that sometimes places will team up with influencers thinking it's something, and then they get something completely different in return. It's nothing new. We've seen plenty of different types of collaborations over the years. If you want to go back to kind of the days of Listerman when they did the Fiona beer. Look, Fiona's a hippopotamus, but she is definitely an influencer, and she is definitely a local influencer, and that counts to me. I would say that, like, recently with Braxton teaming up with the Reds, that's an influencer. That's, you know, using the Reds' name is the influencer in that whole partnership. And there's plenty of other examples of that, you know, Graders with Braxton. You know, this is all the same type of partnership. You're leaning on a brand that you know resonates with some kind of an audience, and you're hoping that by teaming up with that brand, those two audiences will connect with each other. And sometimes it works great, and sometimes it doesn't. I think that we've seen, like, in the celebrity world, especially with spirits, there's been a lot of celebrity spirits brands that either do great or don't. Well, it's no different than that. It's not an evil thing, but it's also not a surefire win either. Chris says, I wonder if Rumpke is looking for one. That would be awesome. Rumpke Malort as the team up of the century. Rumpke for Loco. Try our new garbage water. Man, makes me want to be a Sapporo fan. It's not as like super carbonated, because I think a lot of the Schwartz beers that I've had are, which gives it like a really fun like drinkability. Almost, dare I say, like, stout-like. I think I might. It's very, 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 very stout-like. Maybe porter. Porter-like. That was good. That's good beer. I'm curious, like, are there influencers that, like, if you saw somebody had teamed up with them, would it actually influence you to buy the beer, not knowing anything else about it? Like, just because you saw somebody's name on a beer, I gotta buy that. You know, when you saw that Hulk Hogan was doing Real American Beer, did you have to run to the store and buy some? That's the kind of stuff that that I'm interested in. Like, my kids definitely purchase products because of, you know, the collaborations behind them. But they're clearly not going to the store and buying beer. It's adults buying beer. But are we just as influenced as they are? I don't know. Maybe I'm afraid of the answer to that. Marcus is mine. Thank you. I don't like, the first time, I'm a huge Zane Lamprey fan. I know a lot of people on the show know that. And, like, the first time he collaborated with a brewery, I went through a lot of trouble trying to order a 4-pack of it. It was a good beer, but it definitely influenced me. Like, I definitely wanted it. Little did I know he would then collaborate with hundreds of other breweries as he was doing his tours and kind of lost the steam, especially with, you know, the first one that he did was some kind of IPA, and I knew that wasn't a style that he really was into, and I was like, this is not even really his beer. So that kind of ruined it. I think there's something to that, too. Like, does the beer actually mean something, I guess? Eric says, I made it a point to go down to Listerman for their women's brew days.
I like that.
Great example, too, of another kind of series around town that has been influencer-driven. Influence-driven, I guess, is a better way to put it. The Women's Day stuff. Yeah, that's, look, that's all I got for you guys tonight, I think. I don't know there's any other topics. that's all I can see on my notes. I'm also losing steam. I'm tired. This new schedule is exhausting. Getting up like 2 hours earlier than I used to, and working, several hours longer than I used to. But the good side of like all of this is that, yes, I'm working a little bit more every day, but the attention that I can give towards GNOME stuff is now, like, not quite yet, but almost 100% towards just my projects. And I, like, if I, yeah, almost. There's still some client stuff that I'm picking up here and there that I don't really need to. I don't really want to. I should probably not, but I am for right now, just to get my feet under me with all of this stuff. And then once I get through the documentary, which is right now eating up a ton of time, trying to get that wrapped up. I did hear on Truth Beer Pod a couple weeks ago making a comment of how there is a date on the calendar. And did I say that it wasn't done? Yes, that's exactly what I said. It is not done. But it's closer than it's ever been. a light in the tunnel. That's May 2nd, I believe. If you go to thegnarlygnome.com/a light in the tunnel, you can get tickets if there's still tickets available for that showing. If there's not, I believe we're going to open up another showing. But this is my first documentary project, and it has been an insane learning experience. I guess it technically falls under client work. However, I have spent so much time on this and did not plan properly for this project that at this point, it's pretty much a labor of love. I think when it's all said and done, I'll make about like 6 cents an hour for the time that I've spent on it. But it's going to be good. I'm really digging it. I'm actually like now trying to understand, do I do more than one cut of the video so that like there is the final version that the Brewing Heritage Trail approves of and they love, because they've got a lot of input on this, a lot of input, because this is a project in collaboration with them. And then do I do a whole separate cut that is Four Loko. Ooh. A whole separate cut that is like the GNOME cut. I don't know. I don't know. I'm trying to figure that out while I'm trying to just get things done. It is so much stuff right now. There's so many moving pieces. I think that's been like the weirdest adjustment for me, is that like it used to be like in the mornings, get my kids ready, get lunches packed and stuff. And then I had like this little bit of wiggle room where I could work for like, I don't know, half hour, 45 minutes or so before like we really dove into the actual work day. And I could do whatever I wanted with that. Like if I needed like to do some GNOME stuff in the morning, I had that time. I haven't figured that part out yet. Like, I've got gnome stuff in the evening figured out. Lunchtime, piece of cake. But the mornings, man, I just can't figure out the mornings. I keep pushing my wake-up time back, like, 15 minutes every day or two, just trying to figure out how to, like, scratch something out of it. And I just can't get it. I work better in the mornings than I do in the evening. In the evening, I'm good with, like, just, like mindless work. Like, I can file stuff away. I can update notes. Things like that are fine in the evening. But if I want to, like, sit down and, like, edit something, that's got to be before lunch. Even, like, after lunch, I think I struggle with some of that stuff. So I gotta get my mornings figured out, and then we'll be golden. We're golden already. We're getting there. Yeah, we're getting there. It's like, I think specifically with the documentary, I think it's right now, I would call it, well, I'd probably call it 35% done, but it's the hard 35%. The rest goes a little quicker. All right. Let's wrap things up. I'm going to try to get everything packaged up here and get batteries on chargers and ready to go for the morning, because I'm not ready for anything tomorrow. Nothing. I have, like, all kinds of stuff that needs done still. I appreciate you guys. I hope you know that. If you like this show, if you like any of the stuff that I do, know that you can go to thegnarlygnome.com/support and support that way. The magazine is coming. I always forget to talk about things like that on this show, but I promise you it's coming. It's called Cincy Drinks. If you're not a Patreon subscriber, you can go to cincydrinks.com and you can subscribe to the magazine just right on the website, right there. And that works just as good. I recommend subscribing to Patreon, because if you subscribe to the $10 tier, you not only get the print subscription to the magazine, you get all kinds of other stuff too. And it's way better. So you should do it that way. But for all of you who already subscribe some way or another, thank you. This is, I think I mentioned it a couple months ago, that this is, like, the biggest year that I think I will ever have as any kind of creator, and that is definitely shaping up to be true. The amount of stuff that I am, like, teeing up to be released this year is, it's insane. It's mind-blowing. It is so much fun. It's going to be a good year. It's also probably going to give me some kind of brain aneurysm before the end of the year, but that's all right. That is what Four Loko is for. It fixes those things. Thank you guys. We will see you next week. Same time, same place, right here, right now, or right then. We'll see you guys. Thank you very much for your support. Get out there and drink something local, or something that just makes you smile. You know what? Like, sometimes it's okay if it's not completely local. It's all right. It's okay. Tell them I said it was okay. We'll see you guys next week. Cheers, everybody. Yeah, we'll see you later. Julia mentioned get your THC. Yes, don't forget get out there and get your weed waters before the government says you can't have them anymore. Julia says, outro audio is bouncing between both ears. That's stereo. That's what we do. It's a feature. We'll be right back.